join this SPNR committee meeting. Just saw Sarah start recording her. Someone did. Okay. Folks, just reading out, first of all, the introductions and chairman's remarks, obviously. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, folks, in addition to that, I would also state that there is members of the council who are not on this committee attending tonight. And as understanding orders, it is the chair's discretion if non-committee members are brought in under any items. I will try my absolute best to do that this evening, but we do have a very hefty agenda tonight. So I would ask if I do permit it and bring people in, that you keep it as short as possible and only speak once on each item, as all members are expected. If we find that that's being sort of taken advantage of, then I would stop using it at all, so no other committee members would be permitted to come in. Okay. Next, apologies then. Any apologies other than Councillor Gallagher?
I think everybody else is here.
All right, perfect. Item number two then, declarations of interest, both councillors and officers.
Chair, can I declare an interest on behalf of all chief officers present tonight on item 26?
Thank you very much, Tarina. All right. Moving on then to item number three, and it's to agree the start times for the SPNR committee meeting from June 2020 to April 2021. The dates of the meetings are listed, and previous SPNRs for the last couple of years have been 6 p.m. So I just need a proposer and seconder for a start time. Are we content with 6 p.m? Oh, I need to look at this instant messenger, sorry. So, Barr, I take it you're proposing 6 p.m. and Michael, you're seconding?
Yeah, that's 100%.
Okay. Everyone's happy with that? Perfect. Okay. All right, moving on then to item number 4, and it is the SPNR emergency business plans, and I'll bring in Dorina.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you'll see in front of you tonight the emergency business plans for April to September 2020. The cover paper reflects the fact that we have brought together emergency business plans for each of the directorates, and during the month of June they are being presented to their respective committees. You'll see the cover paper encompasses a holistic view of the emergency business plans across the organisation. Typically at this time of year we would be bringing you an annual business plan for each of the directorates. In light of the COVID-19 pandemic, we decided, and with the agreement of party leaders, to bring you emergency business plans. We do believe these will change. They're very fluid documents. It's a very changing landscape that we're in at the minute. So we're presenting to you tonight the two that relate to this directorate, the Chief Executive's business plan and the Corporate Services business plan. We do envisage that these will change and they'll be revised formally at the end of this month. Some areas are already out of date, as you'll see from reading through them. Happy to take any comments or questions, and we're asking for a proposer and seconder tonight to accept those.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Pete, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm having really bad IT issues, so I might drop out of this. There's a lot of changes going on, and I'm not going to go into detail on the business plan. The group leaders have discussed over the last couple of weeks a number of these changes on the delegated authority. My question is, now that the committee structures are now back up and running, that we need to come out of delegated authority that has been passed at the emergency meeting of council back in March. So just from the officer, when are we going to come back to normal with removal of delegated authority?
So Marie might want to comment further on this, but the committee structures are up and running. Committees are now recommending decisions. Those decisions will then be ratified at full council at the start of July, and at that point the delegated authority will be formally stood down. So sorry, Marie is wanting in there to just to talk on that point.
You're good to go, Marie.
Thank you, Chair. As Dorina has said, delegate authority was something that we only needed during the period of, major crisis. The committee structure being up and running now from the 1st of June allows us to remove that. The appropriate time to do that is on the council meeting on the 1st of July, so we will actually move to stand down that particular aspect of the standing orders and reinstate our own normal working practices. There will be no delegated decisions taken in June unless there is some major, God help us, crisis becomes us again.
Okay. Councillor Savage, you have a question?
It's more of a comment than a question, Chair. I hope you can hear me okay, yeah?
Yep, you're good.
No, really, it's just really to pay tribute to our senior management and all our staff for the manner in which they have navigated the council through the last few difficult months. I know it has meant a lot of sacrifice to each and every one of them, a lot of additional pressure, and I think I speak for all our councillors when we show our appreciation of the efforts that they've put in to manage finances, to keep staff motivated, and to ensure that opportunities for furloughing, etc., were taken. And I'd just like to put on the record my thanks to them for their hard work and diligence over the last number of months, Chair.
Thank you very much, Michael. Okay, we have a proposer from Barra and a seconder from Pete. Are we all in agreement?
Sorry, Chair, can you just ask them to formally to vocalise their proposal?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to propose, Chair.
I'm happy to second, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, moving on then to item number 5, which is the action sheet arising from the SPMR committee meeting held on the 12th of March 2020. And I'll walk it page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. I just need a proposer and seconder on accuracy. Okay, I have a P and a Q from Councillor Savage, so I'll take the Q. I need Michael to say proposer first and then Roisin to say seconder, and then we'll take your question, Michael. Is Councillor Savage unmuted?
I didn't ask a question. That was the previous item, Chair.
All right, okay.
Well, I'm happy to propose.
Okay, thank you, Roisin. I need a seconder then.
I second that, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. And Pete, you do have a question?
Yeah, I do. It's on the action sheet, and it's the appended letter from 2016. And we're discussing it now, but writing back to the Minister of Communities to reconsider the decision on the Regeneration Bill, the development of regeneration powers. I take it from the letter that's attached from 2016 that we're going to discuss or propose to write back. I think, you know, looking at settlements below £5,000 you know, places like rural towns like Rosmaben would really get a great advantage from that. So is it the proposal to write back to the community minister from this meeting?
I'll just bring in Dorina on that, Pete, because I know she wanted to pick up on three of the older ones. So if Dorina, you would mind taking that?
Yeah, members, I just thought with where we are with the new committee and given the passage of time, we have got three, the three highlighted in green have been sitting on this action sheet for some time. So I just thought it was timely to pick up on those with a view to trying to progress them. The history of that first one that you pick up on, Councillor Byrne, it sat for some time simply because we didn't have a minister for quite a significant amount of time. And the reason why I've tabled the original letter that prompted the action was just to remind members that that was, in fact, the letter that had prompted the action of the committee at that time. And really just to test with you, because it has sat there since 2016, does the committee still wish us to write to the minister? Is the desire still there? So what I'm hearing from yourself, Councillor Byrne, is that you do still wish us to write back. So happy to do that. If any other committee members are, if all committee members are content with that, we'll still go ahead and issue that correspondence. I just wanted to check, given the passage of time.
Yeah, Chair, can I just make a comment on that? Yeah. Before I propose that we do write back to the Minister, I suppose in some of the press conferences that happened over the last couple of weeks, both First Ministers were talking about working closer with local government. So I'd say Minister Hargey would probably, you know, for us to write back and say we want to work hand-in-hand local and central government, and maybe devolving of some regeneration powers might be beneficial in this period. It's not the right back to say, listen, all powers must be devolved. It's like in the period of COVID, you know, devolving extra powers to local council would be a benefit. So I don't think it's any harm writing that back and getting the conversation started and see what comes out of it.
Councillor Murray, you had a question, Barry?
Yeah, no, I'm very much in favour of writing to the minister. I know. I'm sure Deirdre Hargey will appreciate the sentiments of the letter and of what's being discussed there, and you know, happy to second Pete's proposal there.
Okay. Dorina, did you want to cover off the other items that were listed on the action?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So just the second point, again, this has sat here for quite some time now, since early 2018. Members, we have an action here to draw up a new policy around, this is where we would oftentimes go to the department seeking less than commercial rents on things. We have stalled on that pending a policy change by the department. We corresponded with the department again this week. It is on their business plan for this current year to update their policy. I am proposing removing this action tonight, and my rationale for that is that when the policy is updated by the department, we will be required to follow that policy. So we will de facto update our policy. So I suppose by way of updating the action sheet and proposing a removal tonight on the basis that we will, as a matter of course, update our policy if members would be content to do that.
Can you cover the next one just as well, Adrina, and then I can bring everyone in?
Yeah, and then in terms of the disposal of surplus assets, members, you will have all got an email tonight. We are holding a special EWG meeting on Monday of next week where we will discuss the three assets listed and all others. So again, on that basis, they will return as part of a bigger action point to the August meeting of SPNR. So again, proposing just to remove that action by way of tidy up, if you like. They will be discussed on Monday, the EWG, and all surplus assets then will come back to the August SPNR. Okay. So that's the three old ones, Chair. I have some updates just to provide to the committee of actions arising from the 12th of March meeting. Do you want me to run through those now, or do you want to take questions on the three actions?
We'll take questions first, Rina.
Sure.
So
yeah.
We can box that off. Councillor Byrne, you had a question in relation to the
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just the second one. I've no issue with the surplus assets. It's going to come back on the 15th of June and then to the August meeting. It's the one with the departments talking about the less than commercial rent. And I've had this in the past where we had to get minister's approval for the peppercorn rent. I think it was nearly Rainbow Community at the time. We're looking for a base and we couldn't do it because we didn't have a minister in place. If, you know, they're updating the policy in the time between they don't have the policy updated and now, we are going to be making decisions on rent. I know there's one on this paper, and it's probably in closed session, so we'll not go into detail on it, on four rents. Are we able to take those decisions for giving rent breaks?
Yeah.
That's less than commercial rent. I just don't want it back into a corner where we've got difficulties with COVID, and then we can't reduce rents for some people.
No, this issue arose, you're right, Clint, so it arose at a time when we didn't have a minister. What then happened, if you recall, was permanent secretaries got authority, first of all, and things started moving for us again. Now that the minister is back in place, we can continue in line with our current policy, and we are doing so. So that's grand. This is really just now pending whatever policy update they do, we'll have to tie into line with that. So it doesn't prevent us from going ahead with any of those.
Yep.
And Doreena, we don't need a proposer and seconder for those actions to be removed. We're saying that we've addressed them and that they're being moved to EWG, for example.
On the next one, if I could just get the committee's approval, I suppose a formal proposer and seconder would be useful just to ensure
that
we're all in agreement.
Roisin Howell's proposing. I just need you to audio say that.
Happy to propose.
Thank you. And seconder for the three to be. And Pete?
Yeah, happy to second that, sure.
Okay, all right. Andrina, you have other updates on the other actions then, if you want to walk through those?
Yeah, just on page 3 of the action sheet, you will be aware that it was agreed. This committee agreed the corporate plan for 2020-23, which it's just really to advise the committee that in light of COVID, we decided that, and again, with the agreement of party leaders, it wasn't the right time to publish that corporate plan. So that action hasn't progressed as anticipated. We are going to actively work on a revised corporate plan with members, and we anticipate bringing that back to committee in the autumn. And we'll see what the landscape is at that stage. Similarly, on page 3, the draft performance and improvement objectives, the March committee approved those performance improvement objectives for 2020-2021. Following the whole COVID pandemic, all councils raised with the Northern Ireland Audit Office their concerns around our ability to actually go ahead with first the consultation, a meaningful consultation on those proposals, but secondly, to actually achieve the objectives that we had set for ourselves in light of COVID. Now, we understand that the audit office are looking at that. We understand that we probably won't be required to fulfil those obligations in the current year. We're still awaiting guidance on that as to exactly what that's going to mean. And as soon as I receive that and receive agreement from the audit office, I'll bring that to the committee's attention. But that has been affected by COVID. And then the other point that I just wanted to bring to the committee's attention as well is on page 4 of the action sheet, it was agreed that we would proceed with the recruitment of a director of ERT. Just to highlight to the committee that, again, that recruitment process was paused in light of the COVID pandemic, but it's still the intention then to proceed with that as soon as we're able to. So that's everything that I wanted to update the committee on, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we have proposer and seconder for that, so just go move on. In the instant message, I'm typing item 6, so if people wonder why I'm writing that, it's just so I know who is proposing or asking questions, so it's for avoidance of my mistakes as much as possible. Councillor Savage, you've put a cue on, is that in relation to the action, sir? And Councillor Brown, you have as well? Or is that in relation to item 6, even before we've got there?
Item 6, sorry.
Oh, okay, that's all right. Okay, moving on then to item number 6, and this is the replacement of Councillor Hart on the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group. And Michael Lipsett is going to take that.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The paper is fairly self-explanatory. At a recent meeting of the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group, Councillor Hart, Valerie Hart, had said that she needed to resign from the group due to having a position on the Planning Committee. And it was requested, as you can see in the report, by Councillor Casey that Councillor Hart would be replaced. So that the membership of the working group is a matter for SPNR Committee. So that's why the paper's in front of you tonight, Chair.
Okay. I'm going to get Councillor Savage first then.
Yep. Thanks, Chair. You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yep, you're good.
Yeah, Chair, the SDLP group wouldn't be in support of this change at this time. We believe the declaration of interest procedure is available to all councillors to use their own judgment if they feel there's a conflict when in the planning committee. Chair, this group was set up under fairly strict and rigid terms of reference. We've had a number of challenges to that in relation to membership of it over a period of time, and we have stuck rigidly to it, and rightly so, to ensure that we get continuity of decision making and we progress the very important project that it is. You know, it was set up that with the 6 Newry DEA councillors on board and Councillor Taylor to rightfully represent the unionist community in the city. We have a consultation outcome coming to us in early autumn, and we believe that it's important for the continuity of the Newry representation that we keep the task and finish group as it is and through until we get to the project board stage. We would be happy to consider any legal advice we would get at that stage in relation to the makeup of the project board if the legal teams representing us believe that there would be a conflict of interest. We would look at it at that stage. This is nothing personal towards Councillor Hart. We have Councillor Stokes, who's also a planning committee member, and has been a very vocal supporter and champion of the park. And we would not want to disrupt the representation on this committee by setting a precedent tonight where potentially people would be pressurised to come off the committee. We're entering a crucial phase, as I said, in relation to the park. Our ambition for the SDLP is by early autumn that we get into a position where we have a good budget set aside for the park and we outline what work we want to progress. It's very important for us that we get a tangible park available to the people of Newry by the end of this term, and that we have the likes of the capping done, or green open space, and potentially a play area and pathways envisaged within that time. And that's the body of work that we need to do. And I propose that we retain the task and finish group in its current format, Chair, and that we don't proceed with this recommendation.
Okay. And do we have a seconder for Councillor Savage's proposal?
Chair, I'd second that.
All right. Just before I bring Councillor Brown in, Councillor Enright, can I just remind you that the instant messaging is for type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second, and try and refrain from making any other comments. So if you do have a question, then we'll certainly bring you in. Okay, Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. My erstwhile colleague may have beaten me to it there, but I would like to make the proposal that if Sinn Féin are relinquishing a seat on the working group, that Alliance take a seat on the Albert Basin working group as the original proposers of the motion.
Okay. And Councillor Murray.
Murray.
Oh, Murray, yeah, that's what I said.
That's the one, Gareth. it might have made a lot more sense for everybody to let the Sinn Féin representative maybe speak first on this, and it would have cleared everything up. Councillor Savage came in with a very wordy defence before he knew what I was going to say. You then got Patrick Brown maybe sniffing an opportunity to get in on this task and finish working group. Look, this is much ado about nothing. This was merely a request. Valerie Hart sat on that working group last year and reported back that on a number of occasions she felt that she might be compromised as a member of the planning committee. And she said that she would never want to have to step out of a planning meeting when something like this here was coming up. So she thought on the other side. So she's only exploring. She's reporting back that she feels that possibility exists that conflict of interest could arise. She had sought to step down from the party. Where Charlie then had asked at a task and finish group, this wasn't something that came up at this committee meeting. But no, look, we're happy enough that it stays within your EDEA. We think that it's a project within your EDEA. The councillors should come from that. I fully agree with that. This isn't about Sinn Féin relinquishing a seat on it. We'll go back to Valerie. We'll have a conversation with her. If the SDLP don't think that Gary Stokes could have any conflict of interest in this year, if they don't think that threat of a conflict of interest exists, well, then we're going to have to go back to Valerie and say, look, does the conflict of interest exist whatsoever? So a further conversation will need to be had on this. So I suppose if the proposal exists for Michael Savage to keep the Albert Basin Task and Finish working group to Newry City Councillors only, I'm more than happy to second that. And we'll go back to Valerie and see what the crack is. All right?
Okay, Barry. Councillor Walker has seconded it, so we do have a seconder for that. Given that it's against the recommendations and we have two proposals, I'll need to take Councillor Savage's proposal first. That it is retained the format that it is. Is not correct. I'm looking at my officers to make sure I'm doing this right. Yeah. Okay. So, I was going to say a show of hands, but I can't see everybody. So to vote then, I suppose, is everyone in agreement with the proposal from Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Walker that the makeup of it be retained? Okay, so we have two no's and a couple of yeses. Okay. So I would then need to... Alright. Okay. It feels like I'm doing a poll here for something, huh? I take it I need to vote then as well.
So we have 11 for the proposal, 12 for the proposal.
Okay. and 3 against, sir.
Sorry, it's 11-4.
11-4, 3 against.
And 3 against, yes.
Okay. And 1 abstention then. I assume because we haven't had a vote from one. Okay. Alright, so that proposal remains, and the proposal from Councillor Brown falls, given that there is no space on the working group. So, happy enough. Moving on then, folks, to item number 7. Councillor Brown, I'll seek guidance from Sarah on, does it not need a vote, given that the proposal from Councillor Savage and Walker was passed, to retain the structure of the working group. There is not a position for a vote to take place, so my opinion is no, a vote is not needed. And Sarah can keep me right there.
Yeah, sorry, I think it wouldn't need to be a vote taken then, because as you say, there is no position to be filled, so that the proposal would fall.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to move on then, to item number 7, which is the notice of motion from the 2nd of March on, and it's from Councillor Byrne. Councillor Byrne, do you want to speak on that first, and then I can bring the officers in?
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm going to be quite quick on this one. Do you want me to go ahead first, Gareth? Councillor Chair?
Sorry, Pete.
Do you want me to go ahead first before the officers?
Yeah, you go ahead first. It's your motion.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I suppose when this motion was brought to Council, I suppose the essence of the motion is it's all about choice when people find themselves in difficult positions, and the Day Into Work Charter is a very important charter, because those who find themselves in a position where they've got a terminal illness, I mean, we've all read the horror stories of people going back and going to HR and they're saying, listen, we're accommodating you, we're changing the tasks that you can do, and financial difficulties that arise from that and the stress that's not needed in a time where somebody has a terminal illness, I think by signing up to a charter like this would alleviate that stress for not only the person in the workplace, but also their family and their carers. So it in itself is an extremely important charter. When I raised it at Council, it was passed rightfully to this committee for discussion. And I suppose this is one of the opportunities where we see where a motion coming to Council passed the committee to gain further information is positive. And I think it's the right way for motions to be dealt with that's in, under the Council control. Because I think, as everybody can see now from the papers that's been uploaded, we've got, and I'm just going to open the screen here, so it'll just take me 1 second to open the comparison chart. I had discussions with both Katrina and Darina on my motion, and putting it side by side with the critical illness guide that the council already follow shows that, you know, of the 5 points of the charter, we have most of them covered. I know the 5th point is also going out and champion the charter itself. And the charter and championing itself is the physical signing of a charter where you hold up the 5 points, you sign it, you photograph it, you're on their site, like the NIAO in Northern Ireland is on it. The audit office has signed up to the charter and some fire brigades as well have signed up to it. I don't see, you know, having to make change where change isn't needed. And I think this comparison chart is very, very useful to put the 5 points of the charter side by side and see what we already have covered in the critical illness guide. So points 1 to 4, as we can see, have already been covered. And point 5 is where I had a bit of discussion with the officers, in the sense that in some circumstances a commuted incapacity pension may be more advantageous to an employee than a debt and service benefit, because the charter is all around protecting the debt and service benefit for that employee and the family. And we have to recognise that in ambiguous situations like that, it's about informing the person in the workplace that has the illness and allowing them to make the decision that is the most advantageous decision for them and their family. So I do recognise that the critical illness guide in itself goes above that point in the charter, and I think that's worth pointing out. The 1 point that I will raise in this before I sum up is that in 16.1 in the bottom, we're talking about the council managing attendance procedure, dealing specifically where an employee is diagnosed with a terminal illness. and refers people to the critical illness guide. And this is the only thing I would like to get clarity on, is that the critical illness guide itself covers anybody with a critical illness that is not terminal. There is a huge difference between critical and a terminal illness. Whether the circumstances for somebody is diagnosed with a terminal illness, referring them to the guide simply isn't sufficient enough to cover the points that's in this charter. It's that that guide covers them as well. All the choices in that guide for anybody with a critical illness covers those with a terminal illness too. If that's the case, and that can be clarified by officers right now, there is no need then to change the critical illness guide as we have it, if it covers the terminal illness as well. And it would be just signing up to the charter for the sake of changing the title above our critical illness guide. So I have no issue proposing the paper as it is.
It doesn't need proposed, Pete. Just for noting.
Yeah, well, it's just for noting. But so I would like clarification that terminal illnesses are not just referred to this critical illness guide, but covered by the critical illness guide.
Okay, I'm going to again, Councillor McGuinness, just before I ask Katrina to respond to that. Councillor McGuinness?
Yeah, Gareth, I was just going to come in on it. I was a wee bit confused by the motion in the first place. Just as I work for a large company, I would have been surprised that the council hadn't these measures in place beforehand. And after doing a wee bit of research on the council issue, it seems they have all these measures in place, and they're probably near superior to those being proposed by the charter at the minute. So Pete's covered most of it there in his answer, so that's basically all I wanted to say on it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Councillor McGuinness. Katrina, do you want to come in and just respond on Pete's question around the terminal illness and critical illness?
Yes, Chairman, happy to do so. Just to deal directly then with Councillor Byrne's point, within the critical illness guide, there is specific provision for cases where life expectancy is less than 12 months. So I trust that provides the reassurance the Councillor is looking for.
Okay. Happy enough, Pete?
Yeah, happy enough, and I suppose just one other point on it. I fully accept Councillor McGuinness's point on it. I suppose, you know, being lobbied from people inside trade unions and other people in organisations to ensure that we sign up to the charter, it's a visual thing. The charter in itself, and the Northern Ireland Audit Office signed up to it, and the Fire Brigades have signed up to it. It is a movement to ensure that we in this district can encourage others to sign up to it that don't. So, you know, the whole point of the charter is the visibility of it. And it is key, looking at the critical illness guide side by side with the charter, that we can see that those points are included in the council critical illness guide as it is. But I just wanted to make the point that it's the visibility of the charter itself.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, folks, that was just for noting. So I'm just going to move on to item number 8 then, the DEAR report on the review of the implementation of the Rural Needs Act. And that's yourself, Regina.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Yes, members, the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs, DEARA, it's responsible for overseeing the implementation of the Rural Needs Act 2016. And they recently established a working group to really review the whole implementation of the Act since that time. And its main purpose was to evaluate the effectiveness of the support measures put in place by DEARA, and obviously to review the monitoring and reporting arrangements with a view to making any improvements where they saw necessary. Now, this is obviously for the public sector per se. And there were two councils represented on the working group, one of which was indeed ourselves, and Suzanne Rice, our Corporate Policy and Equality Officer, was a member of that group. The other council was Fermanagh and Omagh District Council. And what they did was they undertook quite a detailed consultation into this right across the public sector, and it set out 25 recommendations. Now, 6 of those recommendations apply directly to us, Mr. Chairman, for public authorities. I'm not going to go through them because they're detailed in the report. What's going to happen is we're obviously working towards the implementation of all of those. And as well as that, we aim to deliver a training package, which DEARA are actually currently developing to officers and indeed to members, to keep them abreast of really the details of rural needs impact assessment. So the recommendation is, the report is there, and there's a lot of very interesting information in it, and the recommendation is that council welcome the report and actively progress the implementation of the recommendations detailed in the report under section 2.1 for public authorities.
Okay. Thank you very much, Regina. Councillor Byrne, you have a question?
Yeah, it's a comment, more so, and I suppose the thanks is Anne Rice for representing the council on this review panel. I think reading through the report, it's extensive. It's a brilliant report, an absolute brilliant report, because I know from, you know, being a rural councillor, like a number of the councillors right across the district, that it's difficult to get your head around the policy. And a couple of years after it's implemented, it's finding out those teething problems with the policy. I had felt with a number of policies that came up in the council that it was a tick box exercise, and I've seen that that is coming up through some of this review as well. I've also thought at times when, and I'll go back to a couple of the strategies where you're talking about the place strategy, where we didn't have the statistics and the evidence in order to shape that policy for rural areas. And I'm talking about when you're taking in the amount of people in a radial distance, it's the same in a urban and rural area. And from this report, and it's only coming from this group meeting to review it, we're going to have updated statistics on the DARA's website, rural statistics. And I think that's brilliant for all of us rural councillors to tap into, because it's something that we can champion when policies come up that we think that it will have a negative effect on the rural areas of this district. There's a few questions that I just wanted to ask of the officer. I'm just going to pop down to the page that it's on just before. Yeah, I suppose the tick box exercise, the point that I've made here, and they make it very strongly through this report, that filling in the template, the rural needs impact assessment template, it doesn't equate to carrying out the rural needs impact assessment, having shown due regard for. So, I mean, just ticking it and filling in the template isn't good enough. And I think that it is right through this whole report that's flagged up. Two of the councillors that took part in it, one official asked how quickly the form can be filled in. I really hope it's not our council that have done that, because that's the whole point of this. And I know it can be, you know, bogged down in bureaucracy, in the sense that a number of the policies that came in front of us doesn't need, you know, this assessment done, and because it doesn't have a negative impact on the rural area. And we can see that. When a number of policies that come through. So when you get policy after policy that doesn't need the impact assessment done, it frustrates officers to just continue with a tick box exercise. When you've got a policy that does need the report done, it might be overlooked. You know, so when you get officers from one of two councils, there's a 50% chance it could be us, asking to fill in the forms how quickly they can be filled in, that's slightly worrying. But I know from the way our officers handle it that I can say 50% chance it's not us. The other thing I do want to ask is how we consult with the rural communities. So we have asked to beef up the consultation with the rural communities and be innovative how we connect with rural communities. So in the consultations in the past, and I know we've got a paper on them where we're looking at some of the policies that were passed and the impact assessments that were done, it says that we've consulted with rural groups. Is that just the, you know, the County Down Rural Community Network or the community groups in the area, or are we being a bit more innovative to go out and try and get an actual feel on the ground of what impact it would have on the rural community? So that's a direct question from the report. But I really want to congratulate Suzanne from the council who sat in this panel. I think it's a brilliant report for us rural councillors to take and run with, and it really makes me as a councillor in the rural area understand this act a lot better.
Okay. I don't know how that went from a comment just to number of questions there, Pete, but we'll give you the Bible. Regina, you just want to come back and respond to those questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, if I can, please. Can I reassure the councillor, please, that the comment did not come from anybody in this council, as I'm sure he would expect. The thing is, that could have come, in fact, from any of the designated public authorities, not just councils consulted through the process. But I can reassure the councillor that it certainly didn't. It certainly didn't come from Newry-Mourne and Down District Council. I think we'd be very clear on that. In terms of the second question, Mr. Chairman, that Councillor Byrne raised, obviously, we do undertake extensive consultation on many issues across the district with many communities. And certainly, if I could even give one example, where, for example, when we were consulting on the Performance Improvement Plan 2019-20, we consulted right throughout the district, throughout all the DEAs, which comprise both rural and urban communities. I appreciate that. But it was interesting because out of that, just for, in terms of feedback, you know, because of the consultation that we've got received back from them, there was quite a number of issues raised in terms of rural areas and rural communities, like, I'm not going to go into detail, but like accessibility to kinds of facilities and access to those facilities, you know, digital connectivity and proposals to invest in coastal areas. And we did take direct action in terms of those. As I said, it depends very much on the nature of the consultation being done or the nature of the issue being addressed and how we actually communicate. And I totally understand what has been raised here. We do continually want to improve how we communicate and how we engage with people, particularly as we developed our digital communications platforms. So it's something that we're looking at very generally. It's not just a matter of going to what would be deemed to be the usual community, rural community groups, but it's actually going much deeper than that, and it's something that we're giving a lot of thought to at the moment.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Regina. Councillor Howell, we have a proposal from you and seconded by Councillor Byrne just for
Can I just also come in there, Gareth, just to say again that, like, Sinn Féin, we welcome the report, and it's comforting to hear there what Regina has said, that there has been different ways for reaching out. It is vitally important. We're a district that has a huge, huge rural population, and it is vitally important that we continue to think of innovative ways of touching base with them, especially at the minute, because, you know, we really need to be serving our rural communities. Okay.
Okay. Just need you to say proposal.
Oh, I'm happy to propose. Sorry. Thanks.
Thank you. Pete?
Yep, excellent report. Happy to second.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much, folks. Everyone's in agreement. Okay. Item number 9, then, is the Suspended Irish Language Bursary Scheme 2020-2021. And that's yourself again, Regina.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chairman, the purpose of the Irish Language Bursary Scheme is to assist individuals improve their Irish language skills through providing scholarships or bursaries for Irish language courses across a wide range. It's a rolling scheme, and we've been running it now for a couple of years. Again, for the 2021 financial year, it was agreed that it would call for applications for two periods. One, the first one is April to October, September, and the second one is October to March. However, and we had started that process. However, Mr. Chairman, due to the response to COVID, given the future uncertainty, you know, in terms of going forward with that, it was agreed to temporarily suspend the bursary scheme, and if agreed by council, to reopen it at a later date. And that was based really primarily on governance, too, because we could not have assured complete governance during the period of COVID. So suspension of the Irish Language Bursary Scheme and options in terms of how we go forward with it. In terms of 2021, were considered at a meeting of the Irish Language Strategy Working Group on the 8th of June. It was unanimously agreed at that meeting to recommend what is the second option as detailed on the third page of the report for consideration at SPR. That option is to reopen the bursary scheme for the period 2021 and to call for applications for the two periods, April, albeit this is now June, but the first period, April to September, and then for the second period from October to March 2021. And obviously in reopening the scheme, Mr. Chairman, the agreed governance and processes will continue to be implemented. It means by doing this that people can access bursary assistance to attend Irish language courses during this period. So the recommendation, Mr. Chairman, is that the councillors give consideration to the three options and note the preferred option, that is option two, set out within the report, and proceed to reopen the Irish Language Bursary Scheme for the period 2020-2021. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Regina. Councillor Murray? Do we have Barr okay?
Yeah, how are you going?
Okay.
Right, thanks a million. Regina, thanks, Scarmarget, for the report. And yes, I sat on that working group meeting last week. Look, my big question and the big concern about this here is the way that the money is set out in two tranches. So the larger tranche normally runs from April to October, and every year so far, that larger tranche of money has gone, mostly 99% of it has gone to children going to the Gaeltacht. It was very well used, it was very well utilised, it was oversubscribed every year so far, and it was a huge positive for us. The children have missed out on that opportunity this year, and I think we're maybe missing a trick with option B here, the second option. What we had talked about at the working group was that this could become the new norm, that instead of opening the scheme on the 1st of April every year, we could open it every year from now on the 1st of October, and we could swap the whole thing round. When we were opening it on the 1st of April every year, it was very late in the day because children were going to the Gaeltacht in June anyway. Most of their parents would have had to have their deposits and all their money paid in October. So it was always a bit of a bugbear for parents that the council scheme was too late in the year anyway, when the LEFA scheme and all those other schemes were rolling out in November, December time. So when we were talking at the Irish Language Strategy Working Group last week, that's where we were coming from. We were thinking that the money that exists for the Irish Language Strategy for the bursary scheme, to use the larger part of it now at the end of the summer and let everybody apply for it for the Gaeltacht next year. So the course itself wouldn't fall within the financial year, but the money could certainly be paid within the financial year. And then instead of opening the next scheme on the 1st of April, wait till this time next year again and open it again. So that's what I'm going to propose. I'm proposing, I think the intention is good with option B, but it's sort of, something has got lost in translation from maybe I'm completely misreading this here, but what we were talking about and what we were proposing at the working group was reopening the scheme as if it had never closed. So if we only reopen it now and say, right, well, we're only going to allow people to apply for Irish language courses, that would be like somebody who's going to do a diploma in the tech starting in September. It might cost £2,000. You might get three of those. You might get somebody going to Donegal. You might get two of those. So there would be a massive underspend in this, which would then suggest that it wasn't needed because you're missing out on the largest cohort of all. So look, I'm making a proposal that we go with option two, but that includes options for children to apply for next year's Gaeltacht, which we can get spent before the end of the financial year.
Okay. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. I'm fully in agreement with what Barra has proposed, because I would have looked at option three and whether it has its merits given the uncertainty around COVID-19. And the whole issue I had with it was potentially excluding people who had courses between now and September. But, you know, I've also had those concerns about children applying and have been late in the day for the Gaeltacht. And I think this gives us a really good opportunity to make sure that we get places secured for young people. I represent areas like Barados with neighbourhood renewal and, you know, young families that very much look forward to this and need this to learn the language and to have a whole experience at the Gaeltacht. And I've always been very supportive of this bursary. I see the great work that it does within our community. And, you know, I think we should be working to make sure that we don't exclude anybody. And I think the steps that Barra is proposing are very valid. And I think if we recalibrate the bursary in that way, I think we'll get more good out of it. Plus, I also believe those providers who have been the volunteers and people who have been looking after those children have taken a massive potential hit this year as well. And, you know, at least that helps to try and alleviate that if it's paid within this financial year. And it keeps that continuity going, that the Gaeltacht can be sustained. And that option that the young people take up every year, it continues to be. I have no doubt if we open it in that way, we will get a whole plethora of applications again, and, you know, we'll see the value of what we do. And I'm happy to second it if others haven't, sure, but I support what Barra's proposed.
Yeah, I'll just go bring Doreena in there.
Yeah, councillors, I suppose I understand completely the sentiment of what you're trying to do. I'm a bit nervous about what's being proposed here tonight for two reasons. One is essentially we're being asked to commit budget for next year. And I know we're going to talk about finances later. We haven't struck a rate and technically have no budget for next year. But I suppose what we could do is roll over, if you're asking to ring fence some of this year's budget and roll it over into next year. The other issue though that I would ask committee members to allow us to go away and look at, if you are keen to do that, we would have to change the mechanism around this scheme, and we do need to do what you're suggesting. At present, the governance of this scheme is that it's only once an individual has booked on a course, paid their deposit and attended that course that we actually reimburse them. So in the current environment, my understanding is obviously the courses, the Gaeltacht type courses, aren't taking place. What we're being asked to do here tonight is to look at changing the entire sort of governance, the entire way the scheme works. I'm not saying it's insurmountable. I'm just asking if that is what's being proposed, can officers go away and look at that? We need to look at we need to just look at a lot of considerations around the governance of that and bring it back to you if you're content. But I'm nervous about agreeing to that tonight. Obviously it wasn't what we anticipated, and we do have some concerns around that.
Councillor Murray's trying a new one out here. Info, point of information, we'll go with Bar. Go ahead.
I didn't know whether I POI or I or what, so I just wrote info. Yeah, just two things, Doreena. You know, it's unfortunate that it has to go round this way. You know, this is totally unforeseen circumstances. There's, yeah. Get about next year's budget. I didn't mean to talk about next year's budget. I'm not interested in next year's budget. We can sort that out when it comes to the rates process. This has nothing to do with next year's budget. I'm only concerned with the budget that was agreed at the rates budget earlier and hasn't been spent the way it was supposed to be spent. And yes, I understand you're nervous, and I understand that any time that this was suggested in the working group that officers were nervous about it, and we ended up where we were. And it's a fine scheme. I agree with Michael and all that there. But I think we have an opportunity now, and instead of it being a problematic or that there, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. You talk about, it's proposed and seconded if there's going to be a vote on it. And Doreena, I'll talk to you again after this meeting, or we can convene the Irish Language Strategy Working Group and go over it again in greater detail, if necessary.
Can I just seek clarity? The money that we're asking to spend is in this financial year, and those that would be booking on to the Gaeltacht, they'll be paying in October for next June. So even if they paid now in October, it's in this financial year, we would cover that, and then they can still attend the course in June. It's not that we're saying we pay them now to do a course later on next year and they can claim gain. It's they pay now, they attend in June. So I think from what Doreena's saying is, as long as they have submitted and paid their dues, they can submit a claim to the council for that money to be reimbursed. And that would be on this financial side of the year, so it wouldn't impede on next year's rate. Is that what that's what I'm picking up from that?
That's right from the rates perspective of it. That's absolutely fine. And the money that's there in this year's budget is fine. The change to, I suppose, the way we operate this scheme is that we are changing it to a payment in advance of attendance. And that's not what we do. Currently, we only pay to those people once they have attended the scheme and that we know then that they have attended. If we, and this is, you know, I suppose what I'm saying, but the governance changing, if we are proposing to pay out on the basis of you booking the course, should you subsequently then decide not to attend, council has potentially paid out money, and you know, not delivered on the Irish language. You would hope it's few and far between, but it is just a change to the mechanism and to the governance arrangements of this scheme. I'm not saying it's insurmountable. I would just like to go away and look at it. You know, that's all I'm saying. So maybe I'm content if we take away that action and work with Barra and the working group as he's suggested.
Okay, so can I just clarify on the proposal then is that we review the proposal and suggestion of the payment in advance of attendance, and that this will go back to the Irish Language Working Group for consideration. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, I think we're happy with that. Barra's nodding.
Okay. So I had the proposal from Barra and I had a seconder from Councillor Enright. Can I just have Barra audio say proposal and Councillor Enright say second, please?
Propose.
And Councillor Enright?
Seconded.
Okay, alright. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Okay. All right, moving on then to item number 10, which is for Noton, is the Albert Basin. Sorry, I'm just trying to work two screens here. So it's the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group for Thursday the 21st of May at 4 p.m. And it's just for Noton, so if there's any questions on item 10. Nope, okay. I'm going to take items 11, 12 and 13 as one, and they are the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Board. And they are again just for noting, is there any questions on 11, 12 and 13? Councillor Byrne?
Very quick question. I think we had an extra two meetings after that. She did not be able to let me know. We had a meeting on the parking of it. I know from reading the notes of that, the last meeting that me and Councillor McGrew talked about going away and talking to our parties, that we had another meeting after that. So maybe it'll follow up on the next one, but just it's more advanced for members if they're reading that we talked about the whole parking issue and the report that's been done by DFI about the parking in totality around Newry.
Okay.
We'll get those brought to the next committee. Apologies for that, councillors. Oh, Connor's not saying he can come in and update if you want him to.
Oh, I'll have to decide on that one. Go ahead, Connor.
Thanks very much, Chair, for obliging me. and the minutes that haven't been presented are the ones that haven't been presented to the next meeting yet, so we'll have to get them ratified by the board, and then we'll bring them to the next SBNR committee for noting, okay?
Perfect. Okay, the next item is item 14, which is the Section 75 Policy Screening Report, and that's yourself, Regina.
Regina, you're on mute.
Sorry. I beg your pardon. My apologies. I'm getting used to this too.
You're all right.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. My apologies. In line with Section 75 statutory duties and committee commitments within our approved equality scheme, we have to produce policy screening reports quarterly. And within the report, you've got the policy screening report for the period January to March 2020. We also have included within the report our annual Newry Morne and Down District Council Public Authority, very long-winded, Statutory Equality and Good Relations Duties Annual Progress Report for 2019-20, which essentially demonstrates how we have fulfilled our statutory equality and good relations duties over the last year. It's really very self-explanatory, and you see there's a lot of detail in terms of what we're doing and delivering on our obligations there. So the recommendation is to please note the Section 75 Policy Screening Report and to note the our Public Authority Statutory Annual Progress Report 1920. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Regina. Is there any questions on item 14? Nope. Okay. It's just for noting. Item 15 is the Statute Reporting Rural Needs Annual Monitoring Report. Again, this is for noting, but I'll bring in Regina just to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, again, it's for noting. And it is obviously every year DERA must produce a Rural Needs Annual Monitoring Report and detailing the information that authorities have used to show how they've exercised due regard under Section 1 of the Act. We obviously have to produce a report to inform that, and this is essentially what this report is all about. Again, it's self-explanatory, and it just, again, demonstrates what we've been doing to fulfil our obligations in terms of that. And we have to, sorry, I must apologise, the recommendation is that we have to send the completed annual return to DERA by the 11th of September 2020, not 2019, and the appendix details the actual report.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Regina. Any questions for Regina on item 15, folks? Okay, happy to note. Item 16 then is the FOI's EIR's DP modern statistics. Again, this is for noting, but I'll bring in Alison just to give us a quick brief.
Thanks, Chairman. The report is for noting. What I would say to members, it's probably more meaningful this year because we now have comparative data. We have last year's statistics which we can measure and show changes in trends in the numbers of applications and so on. No real comments in this, but I'm happy to take any specific questions members might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. Any questions on item 16 for Alison, folks? Nope. Okay. Happy to note. Thank you. Item 17 then is the Newry Morning Down annual report for Fair Employment and Modern Returns, the 2nd January 2019 to 2020. Again, this is for noting, but I'll bring in Katrina just to give us a quick summary.
Thank you, Chairman. The copy of the Council's annual monitoring return for January 20 is provided with the report. I've also, within the report itself, provided a comparison of the categories monitored as compared by 1st of January 2019 to the 1st of January 2020, and members will see that at section 2.3 of the report. I've further provided analysis of the findings at 5.1 of the report. This year's Fair Employment Monitoring Return was provided to the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland on the 1st of May 2020 and is presented tonight, Chairman, for noting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Katrina. Is there any questions on item 17? Okay, happy to note. Thank you. Okay, folks, the next item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So I need a proposer and seconder to go in committee. Councillor Hanlon, if you want to propose, and Councillor Savage as the seconder then. Just need it for the audio.
Propose.
Thank you. And Michael?
Seconded.
In committee items. So while in committee, under item 18, the Council Finances, it was proposed by Councillor Byrne to revisit the capital programme at the next SPNR meeting in August. And that was seconded by Councillor O'Murray. Under item 19, the management accounts were noted by all members. Under item 20, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Savage from July 2020 for any employees furloughed to top up to 100% of the employees' contract of pay, and casual workers' average monthly earnings will cease and fall into line with the government's provisions of the scheme as outlined at 2.1. Item 21, the Northern Ireland Public Services Ombudsman's complaint, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker and seconded by Councillor Byrne.
It was seconded by Councillor Hanlon.
Are you sure?
Just on the instant messaging, yeah.
I have Councillor Byrne written down, sir.
Councillor Byrne came in after Councillor Hanlon's second.
Okay. All right, I'll redo that one then. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, that members accept the recommendations at 1.1, namely the retrospective approval of the issue of an apology and £500 consolidatory payment made in respect of maladministration by the council. Item 22, replacement plan and IT system. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Howell. The council agrees to support the preferred option as set out in the full business case and allow a budget of up to £1.8 million over 20 years towards the new IT system. Item 23, in-house cost recovery for legal matters. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Walker, that elected members agree to the introduction of an in-house process for legal cost recovery on the basis of £75 per hour for legal advisers and a fixed rate of £7.50 for telephone calls and correspondence. Item 24, tender for the provision of corporate graphic design and print management services. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Howell to accept the officer's recommendation that a tender competition is held for the provision of corporate graphic design and print management services. Item 25, rental agreements. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Howell to accept the officer's recommendation set out in 3.1 of the report, namely a 2-month rent relief for the 4 commercial leases listed in the officer's report.
Sorry, item 25 was Councillor Hanlon seconded?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Howell, sorry.
No, Councillor Savage and Councillor Hanlon. And then item 26, annual leave for chief officers. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Sharvin to accept the officer's recommendation that the recently negotiated and agreed changes to annual leave and public statutory holiday entitlements is extended to chief officers and aligned to the noted in 2.2 and 2.4 of the officer's report. Happy enough, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, that's the end of the meeting. Thank you very much for all attending. We didn't do too bad in time, but it was a very long agenda, so very much appreciate it. Enjoy whatever you have left of your evening, and catch up with you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ciao.